This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move along in the Psalter, picking up with Psalms 104 and 105. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. Make known his deeds. Touch not my anointed. Israel came into Egypt and Moses, his servant. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Has appeared to us.
Oh, God, let us worship.
Reading from Matthew chapter 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to us through his people.
Of all these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
In St. Matthew's Gospel, our Lord speaks seven harsh woes to the scribes and the Pharisees, just one day after his triumphal entry to Jerusalem and the cleansing of the temple that followed. The morning after these tumultuous events, the eager hosannas of the palm branch-waving crowds and the clanging of the coins falling off money changers and pigeon sellers' tables were still probably echoing in people's ears in that place. Our text takes us to that next day when Christ returns to the temple that is supposed to be his Father's house, unafraid to teach the crowds and to rebuke the heretical and idolatrous religious elite who want him dead and who have been coming at Jesus for almost two chapters of Matthew by this point. Today, we heard three out of Jesus' seven woes. The first one is pretty self-evident. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you are tithing mint and dill and cumin, but have abandoned the heavier things of the law, judgment and mercy and faith. Now these things had to be done without abandoning those things. O blind leaders who are straining out the gnat, but swallowing the camel. The scribes and the Pharisees were focusing on the nitty-gritty detail, but forgetting the bigger picture. They were in fact tithing beyond the requirement of the Torah that talks about the seed of the land, grain and fruit, and not so much garden herbs. What they had neglected, or outright abandoned, as we may translate, however, is not so straightforward. Tin krisin, ke to eleos, ke tin pistin. These are surely familiar words to any student of Greek, but ought we to translate them as judgment, mercy, and faith, as the good old King James does, or as justice, mercy, and faithfulness, as the ESV and indeed the Concordia commentary do? In other words, is Jesus here saying that it's all right for the religious leaders to obey the Torah to its strictest interpretation so long as they also remember the coming divine judgment, God's mercy on the repentant sinner in his Son, and faith in the promised and now incarnate Messiah, by which faith that mercy is obtained? Or is Jesus saying it's okay for them to be strict tithers, so long as they also remember to do justice to the downtrodden, show mercy on the poor, and portray faithfulness to God, towards God, and in all of their actions towards their neighbor? Is Jesus here criticizing the rotten core of their distorted faith, or is Jesus calling them out for the coldness of their hearts towards their fellow men? Yes. As the Apostle Paul teaches, there can be no correct use of the body in the service of God and of the neighbor without a correct knowledge of God in his Son. Without faith, there can be no love. That's why neither reading is wrong. And the scriptures certainly judge both false religion and the lack of love. Yet the judgment of God's law, the mercy of Christ crucified, and faith in him come first, and only then follow justice, mercifulness, and faithfulness towards others. The scribes and the Pharisees had neither. In their focus on not drinking the little swarming things floating in their wine cups, they forgot not to eat the much bigger forbidden animal, the camel. This is possibly an Aramaic pun of two similar sounding nouns, gamla and gamla. But the point behind such humorous rhetoric is dead serious. The scribes and the Pharisees have focused obsessively on the tiniest detail, but abandoned something immensely bigger. They have abandoned the true faith itself, and as a result, its fruit, love. We move on to our second woe of today. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Again, Jesus focuses on the right order of things. inner purity is primary and outer external purity secondary. The scribes and the Pharisees had got this all wrong. The second evangelist helps the non-Jewish reader like us understand that there are many other traditions that the Pharisees observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. Yet, Jesus wanted to point them to the washing of regeneration, in him who alone can cleanse the heart to produce pure acts of charity. In their focus on externals, they had lost that to which it pointed all along. Devoid of faith in Christ, obsessed with the letter of the law and of the traditions of the fathers, their hearts were filled with greed and lack of self-control. Our third woe builds on that very image. Jesus continues, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Tombs in the holy city were often whitewashed with lime and water so that no Jew would accidentally render himself unclean for 7 days by stumbling upon one. This was common practice, especially around Jewish pilgrimage festivals such as Passover. Although these finely whitewashed tombs, sometimes small, sometimes monumental mausolea, shone beautifully in sunlight on the slopes of the Mount of Olives, as they still do, they were mere covers for the corruption of death. Such were the scribes and the Pharisees. Outwardly, they appeared to be living beautifully pure lives, obeying the good Lord's good law. But within, they were filled with the filth of death. They were whitewashed by hypocrisy that tried to cover up what was at work within them, death and damnation. Woe to those Pharisees back then. Thankfully, you aren't one of them, are you? Well, you might have reason to think that you are, since the Lord himself begins this whole section in Matthew by addressing the crowds and his disciples, essentially by saying, "Don't be like the scribes and the Pharisees." So Jesus implies that there is a scribal susceptibility and a Pharisaic propensity in all of us who follow him. So, woe also to you, confessional Lutherans, hypocrites, for in your holy and per se blessed zeal for the often neglected doctrinal treasures of this scriptural confession, you get carried away and neglect loving those whom you instruct with acts of mercy and justice, becoming faithless to Christ's commandment to love. Woe to you, confessional Lutherans, hypocrites, for in your love for the biblical and historical practice of the liturgical life of the church, you forget that this beautiful external form is there to teach you internal repentance, faith, and generous love for those around you in that same worship. Woe to you, confessional Lutherans, hypocrites, for you appear on the outside to know this saving confession and theology, but underneath that brainy shell, you hide the sins of which you are ashamed and the ugly reality of death at work in your flesh that you don't want even a father confessor to see. Hypocrisy runs so deep within our scribal, Pharisaic flesh that the list could go on and on. Dear brother, dear sister, don't therefore shut your eyes from the reality of death that the Word of God reveals to you in the tomb chambers of your heart. Don't be overcome by a panic reaction, trying to whitewash your exterior. Instead, bring all that inner stench of your rotting flesh to Christ crucified. He has overcome your death by being condemned to death in your stead. He has overcome your devil by his harrowing of hell. He has opened the way for you to enter into heaven by his ascension, and he will come again to gather you and all of his Father's children, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, as Jesus concludes this section in Matthew. So, go ahead and keep your holy zeal for the important detail. But don't forget the coming judgment that will befall all equally. Remember God's mercy for you as well, and for the people around you, and indeed the whole world in Christ Jesus. Hear God's word that drives you to him and sustains your faith in him. And so, and only so, the Holy Spirit will let his fruit ripen in you, so that you also may show justice, mercy, and faithfulness towards others. Amen.
Amen.
O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Almighty God, do not cast away your people who cry to you in their distress and tribulation, but for the glory of your name, be pleased to stretch forth your mighty arm to help and deliver them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all your doings and being ordered by your governance may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray.
And merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.